Thank you, Rowan. At this time, we're going to hear God's Word. You can, Seth and Sean come forward to read the Bible, you can open your Bibles up to John 17. You can find that on page 996, and you can follow along with their reading.
The cadet theme verse for this year can be found in Ezekiel 34, verse 11, where it says, "For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them."
John 17, beginning in verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those you have given me out of this world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified.
My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be as one, we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray before we begin. Almighty God, as we open your word, grant us your spirit, that we may understand and truly obey your word of truth. Soften our hearts and draw us to yourself as you teach us by your spirit. May we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Open our hearts, that we may love what you command and desire what you promise. Set us free from our distractions that we might hear, and from our pride that we might receive the promise of your grace. Fill our hearts with worship and wonder. And through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. So I do realize that the scripture passage we had this morning was rather long, and there is a reason for that. Our cell phones, and this is not a warning to turn off your cell phones. Our cell phones are an incredibly helpful tool, but they can sometimes get us in a bit of trouble. And what I mean by that is, I don't know if any of you have ever misdialed someone before. I hear a few chuckles, so I know this happened. Misdials seem to be a common occurrence. Not only have I done it, where you accidentally dial somebody you did not intend to, but it seems to happen to me all the time. Even within this past week, I received two calls that were by mistake. And usually you know it because you see your voicemail pop up, and most people don't leave a 10 to 12 minute voicemail for you. But I typically will check it just to make sure I didn't miss something, like they might have left a message and forgot to hang up. But when I was thinking about that and how often this happens, it reminds me of a story that a friend of mine told me about his daughter and her accidental misdial. While she was on a road trip with a friend, she accidentally misdialed her mother. Now, the problem with this was she was in the midst of a conversation with her friend in which she was basically ranting about her parents. Her mother, and I'm not making this up, this really happened. Her mother answered the phone and could immediately hear everything that was happening. And this went on for about 20 or 30 minutes. It was an all-out rant. She was airing every grievance she had against her parents, the whole while her mother is listening. Finally, she decides to place a phone call and sees on her phone that she's already connected to her mother. And so she lifts up the phone, I'm sure with a little bit of trepidation. Hello? And hears back, hello, this is your mother. We need to talk. And there have been others. There have been others where this has happened. And the thing is, whenever this happens to me, that fear goes through my mind. What did you hear? What did I say? What conversation were you privy to? What private conversation were you privy to? It's that fear when we accidentally misdial. And here in John 17, we are listening in. The gospel writer John gives us the opportunity to listen in to a private, intimate conversation between God the Son and God the Father. And conversations like these are very revealing. I've learned a lot, unfortunately, through a couple misdials. And we learn a lot through overhearing this conversation that John records for us. And what we hear is the heart of a shepherd. What John is revealing to us is the heart of God for his people. And when I was studying to prepare for the sermon, I have to be honest, my preparation took me to a little bit different place than what I was expecting. Because there's a lot of themes here in this passage. When we look at chapter 17, there's a number of themes that emerge that we could talk about. We could talk about Christ's prayer for that he would be glorified, the glory of Christ. We could also talk about the unity of believers, or our relationship to the world. But what I want to focus on this morning is what I believe to be the central theme. The central theme that's woven all throughout this prayer, and that is the glory of Christ. And more specifically, the glory of Christ in the context of suffering. I know that might not emerge right away, but I want you to listen and as I explain why I think this is the case. When Jesus opens his prayer in verse 1, he prays, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." And later in verse 5, Jesus prays, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." And this theme of glory bookends this prayer because later in verse 25, we read this, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me, and I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." Jesus is praying for our protection. He's praying to reveal the heart of God. But what's left out of this account in the Gospel of John is the prayer that Jesus prays immediately after this one. And that is, we read that when he finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. And many of us are familiar with what happens in that garden, and other gospel writers detail that for us, with Luke's account being the most detailed and vivid. And in chapter 22, verse 41, we hear Jesus' prayer that he prays after the one that we listen to in John 17. We read, "He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.' An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling on the ground." What is difficult for us to wrestle with and surprise me is that the prayer that we read in John 17 comes in the context of suffering. We see that from the very beginning when Jesus said, "Father, the hour has come." Jesus is well aware of the suffering that is coming his way. And later, Jesus prays, "I have brought you glory on the earth by finishing the work that you have given me to do." Jesus is well aware of the suffering that he is about to endure. The appointed hour of his death has come. And in the garden, he prays, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And I wonder for a moment, if we think about this, if we hear echoes in Jesus' prayer of how he taught us to pray. Jesus teaches us to pray and ask, "Hallowed be your name," a prayer that we're very familiar with. And then he prays and asks that he and the Father would be glorified. Christ also teaches us to pray and ask, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then he himself prays, "Not my will, but yours be done." In John 17, Jesus prays for his disciples, and he prays for us, and his prayer comes in the context of his suffering, the unspeakable suffering and pain that he's about to endure. But it also comes into the context of our suffering. It also comes in the context of our suffering. And to truly grasp what Jesus is praying here, we need to realize that this prayer in John 17 completes four chapters of what Jesus is sharing with his disciples. It's the culmination of his teaching, chapter 14, 15, and 16. In these three chapters, Jesus is comforting his disciples and driving home the point that Jesus is the way to the Father. He's also promising not to leave them alone as orphans, but to look for the Holy Spirit, that whom he is going to send, our advocate and our comforter. Jesus is also exhorting his disciples to persevere through persecution and adversity and suffering and remain in him, the source of life. He speaks very candidly of the hardship that we are going to endure, the persecution and the suffering that his disciples will face. And after sharing these difficult realities, Christ says at the end of chapter 16, "All this I have told you so that way you will not fall away." And just before he prays, he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." The theme for Cadet Sunday is God seeking us. And the theme verse comes from Ezekiel chapter 34. "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them." And it is the heart of a shepherd that we so clearly see, and that we learn from hearing Christ's conversation with his Father. We hear of Jesus' care and his concern when he talks about protecting those the Father has given to him. He prays for them. And John offers to us an intimate glimpse of Christ's heart through his prayer, his heart for his disciples, and his heart for all believers. We are reminded again and again of God's relentless pursuit of us. But as we look at this verse in the context of suffering, we are reminded that God is seeking us and relentlessly pursuing us in our suffering. We're also reminded and come to see that God is seeking us and relentlessly pursuing us through our suffering. The pain and suffering and adversity is something, to be honest, that we experience. It's something that is not to take us by surprise, but to know that our shepherd watches out for us, pursues us, relentlessly pursues us in and through our suffering. God's love is relentless. His pursuit of us is relentless. He does not give up. As we sang this morning, he doesn't let go. He wants us. He wants you. He wants all of us. And he wants all of you. God is not satisfied with just a part of us, with just a part of who we are, just a part of you, just a part of our lives. He is relentlessly pursuing us and wants us to surrender to his care. It is a remarkable thing to be in a place of hardship, a place of suffering, and pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." To pray that prayer of surrender that says, "Not my will, but yours be done. And there's often nothing better that captures our attention, softens our heart, and opens us to be receptive to God's pursuit and God's voice than hardship and suffering in our lives. I have personally found this to be very true. That it's in the midst of pain and suffering that I find myself crying out to God. It's in that place of suffering that I find myself moldable and receptive and listening to God. There's something about pain and adversity that softens our hearts. And through suffering, we come to the end of ourselves and our resources and come to a place of surrender. And it is precisely at this point of surrender that we come to experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I think this is what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the church at Philippi. And he exhorts them, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Peace in the midst of adversity, peace in the midst of suffering, peace in the midst of sickness and pain transcends, truly transcends all understanding. It doesn't make sense. But this is what is promised to us from our shepherd. And remember the words of Christ at the end of John 16 that we read a short time ago. "I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world." Our view of God shapes our prayers. Our view of who God is shapes our prayers. And as we are spending time learning and exploring this idea of prayer and the practice of prayer, I want you to remember that. It is our view of God that shapes our prayers. And it is for this reason that Jesus is teaching us to approach God as our loving Heavenly Father. It is for this reason that Christ demonstrates his loving care and concern for all believers through his life and his death, and hear his prayer. Jesus wants us to see and know who God is. To pray a bold prayer of surrender, "Not my will, but yours be done." To pray "your will be done on earth as it is in heaven" requires a great amount of trust. It requires a confidence rooted in God's character and nature. And this is why our catechism reminds us that Jesus is our faithful Savior when it teaches us. He also watches over us in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. So in closing, I'd like to say this. God does not take suffering lightly. Just as he does not take lightly the brokenness of our world and our experience in the world. It was because of our brokenness and our suffering that Jesus came into the world. Christ came to heal that which is broken, to do for us what we could not and cannot do for ourselves. He took upon himself our pain and suffered in our place to truly, once and for all, heal our suffering. He himself experienced brokenness to reconcile and restore that which is broken. God identifies with the poor, with the broken, and the hurting, and the suffering. And this is why, in his final hour, in his moment of pain and suffering, Jesus prays, "Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." This morning we sing and rejoice and give glory to God because of Christ's suffering on our behalf. We are not people without hope, even in the midst of suffering and pain and adversity. Again, Jesus' words to us, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Christ has overcome, and so too will we overcome. Our view of God shapes our prayers, and here we see an intimate glimpse of God through the prayer of Jesus. And we are reminded again and again of God's relentless love and pursuit of us through our shepherd. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, as you have taught us to pray, help us to truly know you, to honor, glorify, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. Help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. And Father, the concern that is closest to our hearts this morning is that you be honored and glorified, that you be magnified in our midst. And as difficult as it is, may this even be true in the midst of our suffering. Comfort our hearts through your Spirit, and grant us your peace that transcends all understanding. Open our eyes this morning and soften our hearts. Stir our awe and our wonder. Draw us to yourself in your great kindness, and please strengthen our faith in our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to be established and firm in our faith and hold fast to the hope of the gospel. And please do not let us walk away unchanged, but grant us the grace to walk in obedience, that our lives would testify to the greatness of Jesus Christ. And we ask this of you, Father, in the name of your Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.